Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching and listening to Game Time Decisions. Get on the grid. I am Gabriel Morenzis. We throw it down on SB Nation Radio, the loudest station in the nation. A countdown to the National Football League draft is on, and we're all over it. The Raging Redhead steps up and in. We're going to break down all the props. We've got a ton of news as far as the National Football League draft is concerned. A lot of rumors of teams that want to trade down, teams that are looking to trade up. There's still a lot of quality football players that are expected to be traded as well. Oh, yeah, Cam Newton still doesn't have a football team. Jameis Winston still doesn't have a football team. Will they by the end of the week? Time will tell. The Raging Redhead, Cam Storr. What up, Cam?
What's happening, Marenzi? You know, you said it, buddy. These props, I don't even know where to begin. Every day, same thing, different. Juice to this, to the over, to the under. We've locked in on a few guys, but, man, I've never seen a movement like this. And we talked about it before. These things are going to be interesting this draft. How bad are the mocks going to be till the predictions? We don't know how things are going to work out. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not emptying the bankroll totally because I think there's going to be a lot of weird stuff that happens in this draft.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more trades than people expect.
Yes.
People were wondering, well, it's a virtual draft. It's different. Will there be less trades than usual because they're not all in the same room like they normally are? And quite frankly, no, I don't think so. I think, in fact, it'll be even maybe the same amount, if not more, trades, because basically they'll have a dude working to pick on a computer. The GM's just going to be on his phone the whole time. It's going to be GMs calling each other. Yeah, how's it going for you? Yeah, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And we start off at the top here. The Cincinnati Bengals don't appear to be open for business. We don't know, but they seem to be pretty locked in on Joe Burrow. The fact that Burrow's from Ohio really, really seals it. If he wasn't, maybe there'd be a debate who the top pick should be, but they need a quarterback. And, there was talk Miami was going to offer them something, but Miami doesn't need to offer anybody anything. They're in a good, pretty damn good situation. They got a million picks, the Miami Dolphins do. The Washington Redskins, not hearing a lot out of them, Cam. I think Ron Rivera, being a defensive guy that he is, I think he likes Chase Young. I think he's more than happy to have Chase Young fall to him. A lot of people think, if not for the Joe Burrow situation, that Chase Young really is the best player in the draft, would be the number one pick in the draft. And then it gets to Detroit. And over the weekend, we talked about it on yesterday's show as well. Over the weekend, general manager of the Detroit Lions, Bob Quinn, didn't even hide it, put it out there. My phone is on. I'm open to take calls here. The New York Giants, last week, Cam, Gettleman, well, you know what, they're open to trading the pick. Now we're getting word that the New York Giants are doing due diligence on Justin Herbert. I don't buy that. I don't think Gettleman put his reputation on the line for Daniel Jones, who played well as a rookie. Yeah, he turned the ball over a lot, but so what? He'll be fine. I don't think he put his rep on the line now suddenly to take Herbert now. What this is, Cam, he's doubling down on putting it out there, basically. Hey, you know what? I want to trade the pick. Now he's saying, well, you know what? I actually like Herbert. This is a direct salvo and shot right now to the Miami Dolphins at 5 and to the LA Chargers at 6 that, hey, I might take a quarterback, even if you think I'm bluffing. You know, hey, let's see if I'm bluffing or not. I think he is bluffing, but he's clearly trying to get some movement, Cam, and he's trying to shake the Dolphins and the Chargers into believing that he'll take a quarterback, and he's letting everybody else know, I'm open to business if you want to jump the teams in a 5-6 spot and get a quarterback.
Yeah, I got to believe you, Gabe. This guy, they're not getting a quarterback. Are we stupid? You went out to, Daniel Jones was the craziest pick of the first round. People were thinking then, you think they're going to go out and get a quarterback? They're going to get an offensive lineman. I know the Giants have been linked to Isaiah Simmons, who's been all over the board. We don't know where he's going to go, but he's been linked to the Giants at 4. We talk about Cleveland at 10. I don't think it's going to happen, and GMs have to be smarter than that. No, but I think the Giants should be open for business, and they understand how important that 4 spot could be, and hopefully you know, they could still get what they want, get an offensive lineman that's good, but move down and maybe get another pick. And I feel the exact same way about the Detroit Lions in the 3-hole. This is a perfect situation for other teams to move up who want their guys. Detroit can parlay this into 2 or 3 picks and not screw up this draft. But who knows what Matt Patricia is going to do, and who knows what Gettleman and the Giants will do. That's what makes them unpredictable. They could screw this whole thing up while being in great positions at 3 and 4.
It only takes one, and I got to believe that there's one general manager out there that likes Tua enough that he's not going to take a chance that Tua will still be there a little bit later in the draft. I think Tua's that good. I think people are sleeping on this kid. And hey, listen, time will tell when we have a couple of years of football under our belts. But we'll get into the National Football League draft. Kevin Walsh will step up at Sports Grid's. Kevin Walsh will join us a little bit later on. We're going to be on live during the draft on Thursday night and Friday, and we've all been assigned teams. Kevin's doing the NFC East, so we'll talk some NFC East with Kevin Walsh a little bit later on, and I'll get his thoughts on this Last Dance documentary that basically had monster ratings.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, I'm glad that there's something on. The thing is, I'm old enough that I lived through all of that. So, you know, okay, breaking news, Ken. Jerry Krause is a jerk-off, and no one liked him.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know
what
that.
What about Reinsdorf too? You know, these guys, it's Krause will get all the criticism, but Reinsdorf too. The whole thing, it's absolutely hilarious too, Gabe. But the one thing that you notice it from our generation to the young kids is how different things were. Remember, Michael Jordan almost was thinking about going back to North Carolina for a fourth year. It's like, hey man, I'm doing pretty good in college here, instead of coming out. Today, are you kidding me? One and done. It's like the world has changed in a different place. And I will say this, the athletes back in the day, they partied a little bit more. They were still athletes, but you know, the Ottawa Senators, we saw them on the bike, and now, hey everybody, I'm training. That's the modern athlete. You wouldn't catch them dead with champagne, cigars, booze. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. Those older teams, they're more throwbacks to guys like me and you. You could still do your job and party, but players today, a lot more clean living.
Definitely. And you know, a couple of things that struck me about the documentary, and it was well done, obviously, and I expected it to be, but just how more spoken athletes were then.
Yes.
You know what I mean? As far as like Jordan and interviews in the room, there weren't one word answers. They're all retrospective. Like even
great,
at the time,
great point.
Scottie Pippen, like they were much more honest with the media in those days. Like, you know, what's your thought? I don't know. Ask Jerry. I don't know. Ask Coach Jax. Like nowadays everyone doesn't say anything. And even the guys, they mumble. Yeah, no. You know, they don't really talk. You'll see like Jordan used to hold court.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He'd go to court with the media and talk him. What do you mean? And like he would, you know, he'd challenge your question. And I noticed that the players were just sort of more intelligent, and they weren't as scared, afraid of the media, really, of going back and forth with them. Nowadays, players seem they're worried about getting baited. And I understand it because there was no internet in those days.
Right.
So it was newspapers. It wasn't as clickbait-ish. Players trusted the media more now than they did. That's something that stuck out to me. But I look forward to seeing as the documentary goes on. But one thing that you know, that catches my eye, and you know, I realized about this, is just how hard it is to win. And you figure like teams that are winning have it better than teams that are losing. And that's not really the case. I've always told people that. Like the Minnesota Timberwolves I guarantee you they have more fun than, like, the San Antonio Spurs do or the Raptors do. Like, you know what I mean?
That's a good point, yeah.
Like, you know, the Sacramento Kings. Like, yeah, the guys are, you know, blazing weed and playing video games. They show up, the Phoenix Suns, they play the game.
Getting paid.
They're not under the same pressure as the Golden State Warriors are or even, like, the Houston Rockets are, where there's expectations to win. And then when you win, you see with the Golden State Warriors, it's inevitable. Even with the Bulls, it was egos. But really, it was more egos with the management with the Bulls. Like, Michael Jordan used to tell them, chill out. Stop trying to bust this team up all the time. You know, pay this guy, right? Like, Jordan really looked out for the best interest of the team more so than, like, even the organization did. And it was amazing to me to see just how much they wanted to run Phil Jackson out of town all the time. And about, like, Krause wanted to break the team up. And Jordan said, we just won the championship.
I know.
And he said, what do you mean break it up? He's like, just pay everybody and shut up.
Yeah, well, win
again. He goes, why are you making this so difficult? Right? And then Jordan started to get mad around the fourth, fifth, sixth championship there as it went on. But you realize the dynamic of just how draining it is to win. Like, you saw with the Warriors playing basketball all the time. By the end, there were egos. There was problems. Kevin Durant was a big problem with them. And the Bulls, it wasn't really the players' egos turning on each other. It was more so management just seemed in such a hurry to break it up for some reason.
Yeah, great point. And that's the thing. These guys are penny pinching. Jordan got the money. When you have a recipe for success, why would you change it? And that's why the New England Patriots game, when I look at them, it's like, wow.
Same thing.
It's hard to do. You know, Belichick's got an ego. TB's got an ego. Everybody, Kraft. You know, you don't think he wants to be, I'm owner, general manager of the year. Look at me. And Krause and Reinsdorf are those type of guys. It's amazing. Like, when you're watching the pictures, these guys are partying like it's the players. Like, look what we did. It's like they were on the court with Michael Jordan and those guys. It's a very, very different time. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's more pressure on being good than what's it like, Gabe? Being that 7-9, 8-8 team, mediocre, getting a paycheck, middle of the draft every year. Ho-hum. You know, people will still come and watch you play. It's very, very difficult when the pressure's on. And I got to hand it to Phil Jackson. He was dealing with, you know, Jordan's ego, players' egos, all those guys, Krause, Reinsdorf, and he basically said, shut the hell up. I got a team to deal with.
He doesn't get the credit that's deserved.
I agree.
If you look, he had to deal. People don't realize that. It's like, oh, it's easy.
Hard.
Joe Torre on the Yankees, it's easy. No, it's not easy. You're dealing with 25 superstars here. It's not easy. And the expectations are you better win. It's like Costanza said when he's talking to Jeter and Bernie Williams. He's like, they're like, hey, we won the World Series last year. George goes, yeah. In 6 games.
Why did you sweep them exactly?
Yeah, he's like, in 6 games. Like, come on. But you're right. Like, there's a different level of pressure that you don't have as much fun. Like, that's why it was a great analogy, Cam, exactly, the Patriots, where Brady and Belichick and Kraft, you know, they should have just sat down and worked it out once again. But they didn't want to.
No.
Right? Brady really didn't want to work it out. Belichick really didn't work it out. And Kraft is just, you know, sort of let it happen. So it's very interesting that he let it implode like that. Now, something that was interesting as well about the documentary, you talk about the partying, is Michael Jordan talking about how he's exposed to partying when he got to the NBA. That basically Jordan grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina. Yes. UNC Wilmington. Yeah. Too bad he didn't go there.
Go Seahawks.
Yeah, exactly. Go Hawks. So he grew up in Wilmington, and he basically stated that, you know, he lived a sheltered life. He played basketball only, and he didn't really see drugs and crazy things until he was in the NBA. He's in the NBA, and he's a rookie, and it's the preseason, and they go on the road. And he goes, there was one event in the preseason. I think we were in Peoria, Illinois. I was in a hotel, so I was trying to find my teammates. I start knocking on the doors, and I got to this one door, and I knock on the door, and I can hear someone say, shh, someone's outside. And then you hear this deep voice, and someone says, who is it? I said, MJ. So they open the door. I walk in, and practically the whole team was in there. And I was seeing things I've never seen in my life as a young kid. You've got lines of cocaine over there. You've got your weed smokers over here. You've got women over there. So the first thing I said, look, man, I'm out. Because all I could think about was if they came in and raided the place right now, I'd be just as guilty as everybody else that's in this room. From that point, I was more or less on my own.
Oh, wow.
But pretty, yeah, but it shows his commitment, right? And he thought, I'm not getting busted in this room with everybody. And I like how Jordan said, Jordan said he just went to a regular townhouse, in which Jordan said he was usually just hanging out, playing cards, and watching movies. I wasn't going to clubs. I don't smoke. I don't do lines. I didn't drink at that time. I was just looking to get rest, get up, and go play. Yeah, he left out the part how he was betting millions of dollars on games.
Yes! Yeah, exactly, Gabe. An important chapter. And I will say this, too. You know, Jordan's going to be the good guy in the documentary. But when you really think about it, too, I don't want to judge or anything, but this guy had the reddest eyes for a guy that doesn't smoke or party or anything, too. Like, when you watch Jordan play with the sweat
in the eyes. What did he say? He was honest. At the time, I didn't drink.
Yeah.
I've seen Jordan with drinks. It's no, yeah. Jordan's been plastered before in Vegas and places. And like you said, Cam, he's got the eyes of a smoker. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's, yeah. Like, but yeah, there's no way Michael Jordan's never lit one up before.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, like look, Tom Brady told Howard Stern that. He goes, I used to smoke weed. Except in college.
That makes it like a big deal. Ooh, I smoke some weed. Talk about weed like it's like some killer drug. I smoked weed. It's like,
Brady said, I smoke. He goes, well, I'm from California. You know what I mean? Like Brady's from California high school. He goes, like anyone else, I smoked a little weed in high school and a little in college. But he said, I'm not a big weed smoker or anything like that. All right, so I guess, I don't know, is Mekhi Becton a big weed smoker? Big thing is, it doesn't matter anymore.
I don't care.
You don't get suspended for weed anymore in the National Football League. That's the one thing they traded off for getting ripped off by the league with the collective bargaining agreement. They get the blaze.
And I'm with. And the thing is, we've talked to Gabe. You interviewed some guys that used to play in the league. When we went down to these conventions, we met old athletes who had friends hooked on painkillers, hooked on pills, opioids. They're one of those things, and they're addictive quickly. Even our boy Rick Barry, when you talked to him, he said, I'd rather see a teammate smoke a joint than all the guys that I've seen that got hooked on pills when they had major injuries, and those things linger. It's hard to get off of, very addictive. So that is a smart thing. There's a stigma around weed, but there's a lot of good things with weed, too. Helps kids with epilepsy and all the other health and healing properties it has. So we have to be open-minded when we're talking about this thing. As for opioids, they start off good. Oh, yeah, I got a back. My back, I could barely move. Next thing you know, you can't move for weeks and months, and you got a real problem. So I'm glad they figured that one out.
The countdown is on right now, and you're right. Listen, the NFL has come a long way. The other leagues have come a long way as far as marijuana is concerned. You know, the NFL is like a conservative country. They're always last in a party to get on board with this. But it is ridiculous. Goodell says we don't still know the impact and the effects of CBD oils. It's like they're selling CBD oils in corner stores now.
Yeah, my mom like has CBD oils.
Yeah, like you know CBD oils. They're at CVS. Yeah, like you go to CVS, there's CBD oil. Like, come on, Goodell. Let's get with the times a little bit here, buddy. So Roger Goodell is going to be doing the draft from his house.
And, should be fun.
Yeah, and he lives right by Iona. Of course he does, like everyone does, Kev. Like, he's out there in Westchester with our boy Fasano. And shout out to Fasano. We hope you're feeling all right.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out there. And people are like, it's going to be the first draft in years that Goodell doesn't get booed. I'm thinking Goodell should have a sense of humor on this.
Yeah, have a boo button.
Yeah. He should have his daughter or his wife or someone boo him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
like I thought about that. Like Goodell, if you do it, you'll be 10 times cooler, bro.
That's a great call.
Like honestly, I would tell him, and someone say, call him, sir. I have a funny idea, sir. Hear me out, and say when you make everyone's joking online about how you're not going to be booed. I think it'd be funny if your daughter booed you.
Yeah.
Or your son or your wife. Boo, boo. Hi, I'm Roger Goodell. Boo. Like you know what I mean.
Hey, Dad. Boo. Before the start of the draft, the kid comes in. I'm with you, Morenci, and that's
like,
the
people
thing.
Would think Goodell is funny. You'd be like, it's kind of funny what he did. You know what I mean?
Why was there disdain for a lot of athletes, commissioners and stuff? It's because they never laugh. They never come across, I'm serious all the time. You're right. Show the humanity of it. Show I like to crack a joke every now and then. It'll be good for you in the long run. I'm with you. I hate to say it, Gabe. I like to make that bet. It's not happening, but a great idea by you.
Oh, he's got to do it.
No, he won't do it.
I'm going to send him a tweet. I'm going to say, Roger,
you should do it.
And just have his family booing him. Come on, it would be great. All right, it's also great to be kicking on ass.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening and watching Game Time Decisions. I am Arezzi with Tony Diamond, a Ranger Redhead, Cam Stewart. Shout out to everybody tuning in on SB Nation Radio. You can catch us weekdays at 6 o'clock as we follow Scotty Farrell going coast to coast. We're talking about the rapidly approaching National Football League draft. And I came across something pretty cool. Tidbits and facts about a lot of the big time prospects that people might not know coming into the National Football League draft. And one thing that NFL teams like a lot, if you look, they like dual sport athletes, actually.
Yes, they do.
It used to be the old days. They would tell you, no, son, isolate on the sport you're good at. Now it's the opposite, because all the different sports that you play, like it makes you a better football player, right? Like if you high school wrestled, you got good hand-eye coordination. You got good hands. You got good footwork suddenly.
Look at right? Antonio Gates, Gabe, at Kent State. Great basketball player.
Exactly.
And helped people box out in the end zone when he used to get all those touchdowns. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So there's a big theme that a lot of these kids – they did track, weightlifting, wrestling, basketball. They just didn't play football. And another thing is, too, not everybody played football their whole lives. Like this Chaisad kid out of LSU was very interesting, Kev. He wasn't even planning on playing football. Before he played varsity football, he went to an LSU football camp with a buddy of his. Like, he didn't go to play in a camp.
Yeah.
He just went. He went with his buddy that was playing, and he wasn't planning on participating. But with borrowed shorts, cleats, and a helmet, he left with a scholarship offer to LSU. And now, boom, look at the kid. First round draft pick.
Good decision. Want to come with me to this camp? Sure, why not?
Yeah, I guess so. That's there's a lot of famous stories about that, about how, like, scouts were there to, like, you know, look at one guy, but it was some kid they didn't know about that actually ends up getting recruited. That happens a lot.
All the time. Happens all the time, buddy. Yep. Yeah.
So, Shaisan, interesting story there. Jeff Okuda, the kid out of Ohio State. He speaks Swahili.
I didn't even know if that was real. Swahili?
Yeah, that's Tanzania. That's in
Tanzania?
Tanzania. Good call, Cam. Exactly. Swahili. And you know what that shows, though? It shows he's smart.
Yes.
Like if he can pick up Swahili, then you know he's going to pick up a playbook. See, I don't even need to waste my time for the Wonderlic with this kid. I'd know right away. I'd be like, listen, the kid speaks Swahili. He can understand the playbook, right?
Exactly. Wonderlic test. He knows Swahili. Pass. I'm with you.
Yeah, so we talked about Jalen Hurts. Everyone kind of knew this about Jalen, but how strong Jalen Hurts is.
Monster.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. So you remember when he arrived, actually, to Oklahoma after he transferred from Alabama. He won like a weightlifting contest with the team. 585-pound squat. Yeah, 585-pound squat. One squatted 500 pounds in high school as well. But still, you'll still get killed, kid. And that's a problem, actually, for Jalen Hurts, because he thinks he's so strong, and he gets nailed, and it doesn't really hurt him because he is strong, but he fumbles the ball all the time.
Another great point is when you're a lifter, so think about his power and his core. Everybody can break a leg. You know what I mean? It's one of those other things, right? Like he might be strong in the upper half. And that's crazy for a quarterback to win that competition. Usually it's a lineman, but that's the thing, Marenti. And you're right. He has taken major, major shots in college. And that's the thing. Hey, man, I'm tough. I got a big upper body. Well, this is NFL, and time after time. Why don't you talk to Robert Griffin III and some other quarterbacks like that? Over time, it's like a boxer. You start to feel the shots.
So Jalen Hurts continues to go in a different direction than you and I expect him to go. Over under 62.5, now minus 160 to the under. Now minus 160 to the under. We're getting plus 125 to go over 62.5. And, you know, I'm sticking to my guns on this, guys. And for everybody tuning in, me and Cam feel the same way about this when it comes to the National Football League draft betting. Don't be influenced by Mel Kiper. Don't just be influenced by ESPN or other, like, mock drafts that you see online. NFL general managers don't care about the mock draft, all right? Put yourself more in their shoes about what they need. That's the way I, you know, what does that team need more so than just what the mock? Now, some of the mocks are going to be okay, but even Mel Kiper, and we talked about it last week, Mel Kiper knows everything about these college players, but he doesn't know what the NFL teams are going to do.
That's the thing. He's right? An information gatherer. Yeah. That's what he is, basically, Gabe. That's the other thing. And they showed the old draft where the GM of the Indianapolis goes, who the hell is Mel Kiper? This guy is the best, right? He's like, yeah, that's why the Colts pick in the top couple picks every year. It's like, you know what he is? He's a great, great, when it comes down to, he's seen a lot of college games. You know what it is, Gabe? Great, like, when you want information, that's your guy. He'll tell you everything about the player, but he's not in the mind of the GM. I agree 100%. So he knows the player, but he doesn't know exactly what the GMs are thinking.
No, he doesn't. And Mel Kiper right now has Jalen Hurts going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I know.
With the 49th pick. And you know what? I think Jalen Hurts is a perfect Pittsburgh Steeler, actually.
I agree.
He's got Ben Roethlisberger. You don't have to rush Jalen Hurts in. Tomlin's good at developing players. Tomlin's good. He's creative. He can get Jalen Hurts on the field a bit. They can create some packages a la Taysom Hill. Yet, Jalen Hurts in the third round or fourth round to the Pittsburgh Steelers makes a lot more sense. To me, the Steelers aren't using the 49 pick. There's too many good players in a draft camp. You can get a very good player at 49 still that can help you immediately. And I don't know. Maybe you and I are way off about this, but I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I do not believe that Jalen Hurts is getting drafted that high. And I like Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying, because I don't like him. I like him.
No,
he's not going 62.5. He's not going 49 of the Steelers.
I think he's going to go in the high 70s and 80s. So we've already made our predictions about it. So at that number, I think there's a lot of leeway. Marenti, I'll tell you one thing. We talked about Hurts. He can throw. He's an athlete. He's strong. But the problem is, in the NFL, it's not like these players. They're top-end at every position. And what was Jalen Hurts' Achilles heel, buddy, when we watched? Plays breaking down, mistakes, and turnovers. You're not going to get away with that stuff. You're right. Running 17 yards backwards and getting stripped, that'll give you a one-way sentence to the bench. Coaches will not like that. So he's got to learn to throw the ball away. He takes a lot of chances. In the NFL, it won't work.
Here's another quarterback here, Cam, Jake Fromm.
Fromm's interesting, hot and cold.
He's over under 61.5. His prop. I don't see him getting drafted that high either. I could be wrong.
Yeah, over.
I don't think he's a second round pick. I don't think he's going to go in the first two rounds.
He's too inconsistent.
Yeah, no teams like him. He's a good kid. He's more of a guy that's going to be a career backup type guy. He is a nice kid. He's a smart guy and stuff like that. But he's not great. He's more just a game manager type of guy. And to me, he's a fourth round pick. I think the odds makers have him way off on this personally.
I'm with you 100%. I think
I'm going to bet over 61.5 for him.
Well, we watched a lot of Georgia games, and he makes a lot of mistakes. It says his stock, you know, he was a guy that could have gone a lot higher earlier. And, you know, after this year, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, he's dropping. What do you think of Gordon from Washington State, a guy that put up numbers? I think, you know, they looked at Minshew getting him so late. But Gordon is an interesting guy when it comes to strict statistics. He's a guy that put up very, very good numbers at Washington State, but so do a lot of quarterbacks.
I like Gordon, actually. I'm glad you brought him up. He's so low on the board. There's not a lot of props for him out there. But it's interesting that you bring him up because I say this as somebody, Cam, that I'm not a big Minshew guy. Yeah. But coming into the draft last year, I knew Minshew was good. Like, basically, like, Minshew, you know, patterned his game after Tom Brady.
Yes, he did.
And everything was just sort of fast, drop back, fast, quick reads. And he was pretty good at it. But me personally, I like Gordon better than him.
He's a better pro-style quarterback.
Exactly, Ken. Gordon's got a better NFL arm than Minshew does. The thing with Gordon, he makes a lot of bad decisions. Like, he forces footballs in, and he doesn't have a cannon, but he can make NFL throws. But to me, listen, Gordon's going to be a six-rounder, Ken. Yeah. He's going to be one of these guys going to go later in the draft, and he's going to be one of these guys going to surprise people, and he's going to earn the backup spot type thing.
I agree with you.
I like him. Like, you know what I mean? He's flying under the radar, this kid. I was thinking about that, too. Is he going to be one of these kids no one talked about? He's going to end up being a starter because of injuries? Because that's the thing, guys. Stuff happens in the NFL, right? So no one expected Minshew to start. No one expected Dak Prescott to start when he came in the league. You know, multiple quarterbacks got hurt. Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Right? You sort of find yourselves thrown in. Gardner Minshew this year got thrown in. Every year there's sort of a kid that's going to get thrown into the fire, and you're like, hey, look at this. This guy can actually play. But I don't have a problem with a team taking his kid in the fifth or sixth round.
I was saying the fifth round, too. And it's interesting, Gabe. You know, when Tom Brady goes number 199, I was thinking about your boy Lloyd Carr. And it's funny to me, he gets no credit for that. I always talk about, the Patriots took a chance or whatever. Lloyd Carr bigged up Brady and how he was in those games big time when the Patriots came calling, because there was other guys on their board. He did so bad in the combine. Lloyd Carr said, just look at the tape. Look at him against all the comebacks, the big games. Orange Bowl, that's my guy. And he basically sold him. So Lloyd Carr deserves a lot of credit for Brady's success, too. He could have not sold him the way he did, but he did. And the rest is history.
One team that I like the direction that they're going in right now is the Denver Broncos.
I do, too.
You know, they've had a couple of rough seasons. It looks like they finally got their quarterback in Drew Lock right now. Drew Lock played well in his limited time on the football field. But you saw the offense was a little bit better. They need to get him some weapons, but they bring in Melvin Gordon into the mix. Cortland Sutton's good, but you need more. You need more. They lose, of course, they lost Sanders before to San Francisco, and Sanders has moved on once again to the Saints now. So word is right now, the Broncos, they're, you know, you and I talked about this, about them wanting a wide receiver. They're drafting 15th right now.
Yeah, they need one.
You know, there's a rumor that they're looking to trade up because they want to get Jerry Jeudy. And they think that basically they got to get into the top 10 to do it.
I'm going to tell you something, Gabe. Denver Broncos, what do they have for Drew Luck right now? Big, tall, lanky guys. Like, they're good inside, you know, catch that ball like a DK Metcalf. Big, tall type of guy. What do they need? A burner, a guy that can stretch the field. And I'm with you on the Denver Broncos.
They don't need to trade up to do it.
No, I think they can get CeeDee Lamb or Jeudy, I think, around
that
pick.
Or Ruggs.
Yeah, don't freak out.
But I think they're worried, and this is what it tells us, Cam, where that run begins, man, on wide receivers. The Jets at 11, the Raiders 12, San Francisco 13. Yep. And that's not even speaking to some, you and I talked about it. Maybe Jacksonville likes Minshew enough that they're going to grab a star wide receiver with the ninth overall pick. I think the Denver Broncos, that's what they're thinking. We got to get into that 8-9 zone if we're going to make this, if we're going to get Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, and I think he's the perfect type of player. Like, you remember I said, I think CeeDee Lamb for Oakland and San Francisco makes sense. When you look at Denver and the players and personnel they have, Judy's the fit for them. They need a guy that can stretch out the field for Locke, and I think he's the guy.
That's the one weakness they have. If you look, they've got a nice, like, little nucleus of talent now.
Denver's the dark horse.
Like, you got Drew Locke at quarterback. We'll see. Jury's still out, but still, he looked good enough when he played. So, you know, you have Drew Locke at quarterback. Boom. You have Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, and Royce Freeman as running backs now.
Amazing.
You're stacked at the running back position.
Yep.
Cortland Sutton's good. Not a number one, pure number one guy, but he's good. You talked about he's big, lanky kid. The other guys are weak, though. You're not winning with Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Noah Fant, very good. Young tight end out of Iowa, very good. So you got a young star tight end. You've got Melvin Gordon, who's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And he'd only signed a two-year deal, so he'll be playing like hard football. You have a nice young quarterback in Drew Lock. Now, you know what? We know your defense is going to be good. You're the Broncos. Vic Fangio, especially Fangio. The Bronco defense will get better, Ken.
I agree.
You and I talked about it a lot last year. Vic Fangio, his defensive schemes are amongst the most complicated in the National Football League. Like, it's very complicated, and you rotate, and the players have to learn a lot. And you saw the Broncos were getting better at it as the season went on. Now that they have another year, it's too bad for them. They don't have a real camp. It's a weird camp. But nevertheless, at least they know what's expected of them now. Listen, the Broncos are going in the right direction. Jerry Jeudy would be interesting, but I just don't think they really have to trade to get up unless they think there's going to be a big run on those wide receivers, Ken.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, Gabe, and you said it. There is going to be a run. And as for Denver, too, I like them to come second in that division. Patrick Mahomes, let's remember, Gabe, that Monday night game, the Denver Broncos defense gave him fits until the end when he pulled off a magic show to beat them. This is a good – I'm telling you, I love Denver in today's season as an underdog pick. If you're looking for a big, big pooch, a team that can, you know, kind of sneak into the playoffs and do some damage, if Drew Lock develops, is the Denver Broncos, buddy. I'm with you 100%, and I think that defense is going to get better all the time. Kansas City, they carved the other teams in the division up. That Mahomes did at times, struggle against Denver.
Looking at the draft order right now, so we got Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Washington, yep. Detroit, unknown. Maybe Jeff Okuda, maybe Isaiah Simmons, maybe they trade down. New York Giants should go with Tristan Wirfs, or maybe Wills out of Alabama, but an offensive lineman. The Dolphins, most likely quarterback. Chargers, most likely quarterback. So you get to Carolina at 7. I don't think they take Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb.
No.
But they could. Like, it wouldn't be a million, like, you know what I mean?
Who's their best receiver, Samuel?
Yeah, like, it wouldn't be a million-to-one long shot that they did it. I don't think they do, personally. But they've got McCaffrey. I like their young wide receivers.
Yeah,
that's
actually,
the thing. Moore is pretty good.
Moore is
I like
okay.
Moore. Samuel's a young kid still, right? So
Anderson.
Yeah, like, I don't, you know, they just gave all the money to McCaffrey as well on offense. They bring in Teddy Bridgewater. You got to believe they're going to go defense now with Matt Rhule. You know, they've already got their offensive skill, but I'm just stating, they're at 7. Arizona just brought in Hopkins.
They need a lineman bad.
Yeah. They really need an offensive lineman bad. Maybe they draft another wide receiver later, but I don't think they're going to do it with the 8th overall pick.
Yeah.
Then we get to Jacksonville, which I don't really know. Jacksonville are unpredictable.
They're the biggest mystery in the draft. Jacksonville could go receiver. They could go quarterback. They could go DB. There's so many needs that these guys have.
They can go defensive line.
Yeah, they need everything. the Jacksonville Jaguars need
And the Jags' plan changes every 3 months.
Yes, it does.
Oh, we're signing Nick Foles. No, we're letting Nick Foles go. We're signing him. We're firing. Like, the Jags are all over the place, right? So they're a difficult team. Like, they're not really locked in where it's like, oh, you know they need this.
Yeah.
So then you get Cleveland, who I keep hearing Cleveland like these wide receivers.
They need a tackle.
And you're insane. You already have a million wide receivers.
If the Cleveland Browns draft a receiver, they should all be fired. You already have those guys right there. I'm telling you, Baker Mayfield was getting killed. You have to come back and protect the quarterback. Some were on the line and some were on him. He made bad decisions. Cleveland's offensive line, Gabe, it's a train wreck. They definitely need offensive line help.
Yeah,
draft the lineman. Don't make it sexy. Just do it.
I'm not Baker Mayfield's biggest fan, but the kid runs for his life. Like, he's running like he is running from an Oklahoma cop.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he was running. And the thing is, he's not very mobile. You know, in college, he can roll out, but he's not fast, right? He gets chased down by a defensive tackle. All right, we'll take a quick break. Game time decisions, SB Nation Radio. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. SB Nation Radio. I am Gabriel Morenci with Throwing Down and Raging Reddit. Cam Stewart, of course, get on the grid at the Sports Grid. We're talking about the National Football League draft, and of course, it's a virtual draft. And there could be problems, man. We talked to Gary Gramling last week about hackers and the potential for hacking when it pertains to the draft. Yet, you know, I'm not so much so thinking about hacking, but I'm thinking about technical glitches. I'm thinking about the fact that not everybody is a technological savvy person in the National Football League between coaches. General managers, for the most part, will be, but it's difficult. You know, anyone who's been a part of any just like normal business conference call, there are glitches. So their mock draft, and you know that the Toronto are going to work out the kinks before Thursday night. But Adam Schefter is saying it's not going very well, Cam. And in the words of one National Football League general manager, he said it's brutal. He said it's glitch city across the board. It's brutal. And that's the whole thing, too. Like, you're already worried about making your picks. Yeah. It adds extra stress, man, to a team if they're worried if they're actually going to be able to make the damn pick, Cam.
Excellent point, Gabe. And that's the thing is we deal with a lot of different people. Like, you know, people are in different areas, too. You're going around the United States. How's this guy's Wi-Fi? How's this guy's computer? How's the program? It's going to be overloaded. You talk about it. Threat of hackers. Like, it is going to be a very, very interesting process when that many people are involved with technology.
The internet, Gabe, is like a virus, Cam.
It is.
You can't control it.
Exactly. You are exactly correct. People don't understand. We do the show, too. And you know what I mean? It happens. It doesn't matter if you got the best system. You pay extra for whatever. It is. You're right. The internet is a virus. And, Gabe, think about all the different people involved in this. So you go from one guy with a good connection to a bad connection, back to the commissioner and this and that. There's going to be a lot of people involved. And I told you it was going to be a rocky ride. And they got a few days to work it out, but not many.
And I tell you, I said it before and I'll say it again, guys. This is going to be, it's going to be a lot like that NBA game a horse was. Don't expect like a slick production.
Oh, God, no.
Like, they're going to do their best. Like, the studio will be fine. They're going to, you know, a couple of guys will be in the studio. But there's going to be a lot of iPhone stuff, right? Yeah. There's going to be a lot of video phone, iPhone, Zoom, Skype, right? And, you know, they're all using Zoom for the draft, but other guys filming when they go to their place. So it'll be fun. It's going to be old school. I don't have a problem with it. So, you know, to us, all that matters is, you know, is we get our props right. That's what matters. Because there's not like on next week we have something to get our money back on, Kev.
That's a great
point. We better get our draft picks right. Otherwise, you better hope for like you pick some winners with the Rakuten Monkeys again.
Yeah, the Rakuten Monkeys and Gulfstream and Oakland. That's it. You're right. This NFL draft, you got to get it right. But I will say this. Think about this too, Gabe. When you're watching TV, when you're watching an old program too, you get the 16:4, the ratio. So I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of full screen shots, then a strip, then a box. Like, they better come up with interesting things like the old switch and Welcome Back, Kotter, in the old days with the stars and the graphics. They're going to have to implement some interesting things because when you're watching the broadcast, there's going to be different ratios that this thing is going to be working in, and it's going to look very, very interesting.
A team that really, really controls the draft, in my opinion, are the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, definitely.
And it bothers me as a Buffalo Bill fan because these guys could really, really come out of this like with a freaking stacked roster if they handle it right. So they're drafting with the 5th pick, the Miami Dolphins. Then they also have the 18th pick in the first round. And they also have the 26th pick in the first round. And this is a draft in which it's, you know, 2-3 rounds deep. Let's say 3 rounds really deep. There's a top 100 that are really good football players.
Yes.
So let me ask you, and you know, as I brought up earlier, Cam Newton and Jameis Winston are still out there right now. Cam Newton has the health issues around him. Jameis Winston does not. And I'm surprised that Jameis Winston's found himself without a football team still right now. Maybe he will, but when it's all said and done through this week. Now, you don't need to trade for him. He's a free agent, right? So that's the whole thing. You can sign Jameis Winston right now. Maybe a team doesn't get what they want in the draft, or maybe they decide, all right, let's sign Winston now. But if you're the Miami Dolphins, if I was the Dolphins, I'd be thinking long and hard about it. Like, you get Jameis Winston. He's 25 years old. He's already been in the league for 4 years. He's good. He's going to get better. I think he's learned something. I think he's been humbled by this. I think he is going to get better. And you could sign him to, let's say, a 3-year deal, suddenly have a real starting quarterback. Boom. Then you have the 5th pick, the 12th pick, the 5th pick, the 18th pick, and the 26th pick. All right? It's the Raiders with the 12th pick and the 19th pick. They got 2 picks, too. But if you're the Miami Dolphins, Cam, what do you think about that? You sign Jameis Winston. And then, boom, you take Jerry Jeudy fifth, so you don't take a chance. Bam. Take Jerry Jeudy fifth overall. You wait, then bam, you get Chaisson, you get a linebacker, you get a defensive back and E.J. Henderson.
Running back.
Yeah.
If they want to go that way.
Then you get DeAndre Swift late in the first round if you want. And or you can get one of these stud linemen, Cam, right? So you decide Jameis Winston, bam, then take Andrew Thomas with the 18th pick, the lineman out of Georgia. Then boom, take DeAndre Swift with the 26th pick. Understanding they could walk away with three football players and Jameis Winston. That's like four new starters if you're the Dolphins.
Yeah, to me, Gabe, it's shocking to me. We've talked about this months and months ago. Jameis Winston, he looks great. You know, he's obviously taking it seriously. He's doing drills. He looks fantastic. Hey, Mariota's getting another chance, right? He's going to be competing for a job. And Winston, despite the interceptions, he also threw the most touchdowns, like the yards. Take a look at this guy. I want to bet with him at 20-1. Most
Dude, he's better than Phillip Rivers. Look at Colts side Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers throws interceptions without the touchdowns.
To me, he's better than, like, other than Tua and other than Burrow, who you're going to build your franchises around, I would rather have Jameis Winston than drafting Herbert. Love any of these guys. I will say this. Jacksonville and Miami, it is shocking to me, Gabe, from a guy that played at Florida State University, that none of these teams, like, that's the thing that I worry about when you're talking about the quarterbacks. Maybe one of these teams has a Winston plan B in their minds. But if you're the Dolphins, yes, I agree with you. Jameis Winston's still a young guy. He has a lot to prove. He's shedding weight. He's an absolute beast. You give this guy some weapons, and we could start talking. I think he's actually underrated. And to me, it's amazing that he doesn't have a job right now. I'm all in on Jameis Winston.
Oh, if I was the Chargers, I would sign him.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Chargers, he's a better fit for the Chargers.
Yes.
He's ready to go. Like, he's better than Phillip Rivers held you guys back last year. He's ready to go. You drop him in Los Angeles, he can handle the pressure. He's perfect for LA. He's perfect for the offense. And then if you're the Chargers, you can use that sixth pick to get another good football player. Get Isaiah Simmons. Get, you know what I mean? Get another DB. Like, you can make yourself better. That's the whole thing. Jameis Winston is there. And then you have to ask yourself, all right, Jameis Winston's better than Justin Herbert, Ken.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to be better.
Way better.
I agree with you. Like, so Tua is an exception. I understand a team wanting to get Tua. I think Tua is going to be a star. So I totally understand a team, like, want to go all out and get Tua. But I think it's crazy that Winston's still on the outside looking in right now. And guys like Winston, and we were talking about, like, there's still a market of players to be traded still right now. Like our boy, Andy Dalton.
I heard the report.
Andy Dalton can help a football team.
You know what he can do? He can back up. And the move to
Buffalo.
You know
where there's a push? Yeah, exactly.
No, the thing is,
he's already popular at Buffalo because he got us into the playoffs.
That's right. But the thing is, you could be realistic as a Bills fan with Andy Dalton. You could say, listen, man, you are a backup. You can help Allen. You're a veteran guy.
Yeah, he could help Allen, too.
Yes, he can. And if he gets hurt, you don't have to worry about the backup quarterbacks for the Bills that they had before with little playoff experience or NFL experience. I think Andy Dalton is a perfect fit for Buffalo as a backup and a nice security blanket.
He's actually played well when
he has. He has. He has.
I've heard the same push that people are almost like, yeah, just bring Andy to Buffalo as the backup. You know what I mean? Like, straight, you're the backup. You're not competing for the job. But you know what I find interesting? So there's a guy like Andy Dalton. Cam Newton's still out there. Jameis Winston. But what I find interesting about this is those are guys. Guys always get hurt, Cam. It's inevitable.
It's true.
Guys are going to get hurt. But the problem is, for these guys, they're really out of luck right now. Of all years to be a free agent in the middle of this virus, nobody's working out. They can't get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the camp.
You're telling me that none of these guys can get a Peloton and go cycling for a while, but you're right about football.
No,
stuff.
But I'm saying, yeah,
you can't. Football stuff.
Normally,
exactly.
If there's a mini camp and then there's a training camp and stuff, that's where guys get hurt.
Yes.
Oh, he pulled something. Like Deshaun Watson got knocked out for the year. He didn't even get touched. Yeah. He rolled out in a drill in practice. Oh, something popped in his knee, right? Like, this happens. Every year, there's a couple of quarterbacks, a couple of big-time players going to get hurt in training camp. They're going to get hurt in the preseason at some point in time. And it usually doesn't even happen in the game. It'll happen in practice usually, right? So I'm just stating, if there's no team workouts and everything gets pushed back. Like, put it this way. The NFL schedule is not on the clock, Ken. Like, the draft or the draft, suddenly they're going to start falling behind. This is why Roger Goodell was so adamant on having the draft. Because he said, guys, like, there's no better date for this. Like, it's not like it's going to get better. So what I'm saying, Cam, like, normally after the draft, there's a mini camp.
Yes.
Like the next week, like type thing. Like the rookies that got drafted would show up and, you know, run around in shorts and take a picture with, you know what I mean? Nothing. Meet the media. They're not doing that now. So suddenly minicamp isn't happening. Like training camp is on the verge of being postponed right now in the NFL.
So what does what does that tell you? Veteran players are more important. This draft class is not going to have time to get acclimated as young players to the playbook, to all the other things. So it would make
a challenge
to get a guy like Dalton, Winston, and all these other guys. That's what I'm saying.
And it's a more of a challenge, too, for new coaches, Ken. Think of your guy like Joe Judge. He doesn't know anyone on the Giants.
No, he doesn't.
Like, so even when they get, like, a limited camp, they get thrown in. Like, everything's just newer. He's, like, it's less time around learning about the talent that he has and the new players that he has. That's why these virtual camps are going to be important for these football teams. It's a unique situation for everybody right now, but it's a strange time to be a free agent in a National Football League with all the uncertainty. I do believe the NFL will play. I think they'll find a way.
They will.
My opinion is they're not going to be able to play in, like, all 32 stadiums, though. They're going to have to sort of isolate in Texas and in Florida. Yeah.
Not in New York, yeah. California. They're not playing in
Good point.
California.
No, exactly. New Jersey / New York and California, they're going to be closed. It's not going to happen. There's going to be a second wave, but there's too much at stake for the NFL. But there's been a lot of talk about baseball, Cam. And I'll tell you what, I saw a story about baseball here. Baseball to allow teams to furlough, reduce pay of club employees. And I'll give props, actually, to Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred took a pay cut himself. He's putting his money where his mouth is.
As well he should.
35%.
That's a big cut.
Yeah.
That's a big trip.
He said, as of now, I'm reducing my salary 35% as well. Like, so I like that. He's putting, you know what I mean? Everyone's taking a hit, including him. He said, me and all my executives. Everyone in the baseball executive office, they're taking a 35% pay cut. But the fact, Cam, that the decision gives teams greater flexibility in handling non-playing personnel. Clubs will not be required to take such measures, which are expected to go in effect. Now, we should know baseball did give $30 million to these guys. All right? Like, each team gave $1 million to their workers to try to get through this. But they're not going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like, baseball's not making money. Like, they basically said, our revenue is nothing, guys. Like, we don't have any money coming in. And it's going out. We're paying people. So the fact, Cam, that Rob Manfred's taking a pay cut, and the fact that he just told all the teams, yep, you know what I mean, you can start laying people off and furloughing people. Like, we're not telling you to do it, but you can do it now. Doesn't sound to me, Cam, like a league that's ready to play in Arizona May 1st, buddy.
No, baseball.
Well, who's the guy with that story from a few days ago? Yeah, good, great breaking news, buddy.
Yeah, it's not happening. Baseball, you talked about it, too.
And you know what's crazy? The poor bastard, Manfred. Listen, I think he's made a lot of mistakes, but he's working harder now than he normally does. That's the whole thing. Like, harder. He's on the phone all the time now trying to save the league. As before, when the league's running, he doesn't have to do anything besides screw up cheating investigations.
Yeah,
but like I said, Ken, a league that's ready to start telling people, yeah, we can't pay you, that's not a league that sounds like they're ready to start operations, Ken.
Yeah, Manfred was like George Costanza in Seinfeld, sleeping under his desk, trying to avoid. That's the thing. Now he's on the blower trying to get it done. And I got to admit, 35% is very impressive, Gabe. But let's take a look also. If he didn't do that, look at the PR move with the trophy. The Astros situation, we haven't even handled the Red Sox situation yet. You talk about the cheating. That's the last thing on their minds right now. But yeah, baseball too, with the tests and money, it seems to me out of the big sports, they're actually like, as a betting board, that would be the one that I say will probably be, if one's going to go, it'd be baseball.
I'm not buying it. Yeah. I don't think.
You think hockey, but I think baseball, right?
Baseball are both in trouble. I think hockey is just going to be enough work to start in October. I think that's what they're going to be looking to do. Start in October. There won't be a Stanley Cup champion. That's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I think they get it done. But, yeah, baseball's got a lot of hurdles, Gabe.
And now I see Clayton Kershaw doesn't want to do it.
That's the thing. These guys make money.
Mike Trout, no. Clayton Kershaw, no. It's more and more that they're saying, I'm not into this.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And there's a lot of guaranteed money in baseball. Guys that have, you know, worked hard, great players, but they've got a lot of bank. They can take care of their families for a long time. It's very different. Like, the NBA is going to want to take care of business. Football still has a window of time to get it.
Yep. There's a difference. There's a difference being a UFC fighter that makes no money and being a Major League Baseball player. Like, we talked about, the baseball player union is strong. They have money. The sky won't fall on them if they don't play for a year. I get it. I get why they want to. But Major League Baseball players, they're not dumb. Like, they're all bringing up, is this safe? Is this safe? Right? And, guys, the amount of testing that it takes is just, it's so much. But baseball has so much at stake. There's a lot of money at stake. So you think baseball is going to be able to pull it off?
I don't think so. Out of all the sports, I think that's the one that has the biggest problems right now.
When can they start playing, like, at, like, honestly, like August?
I'm thinking August, yes.
And that's my best case scenario.
That's my prediction for hockey. If they go, it'll be like August 15th type of thing. They had Wayne Gretzky on. I don't think he just spews garbage. The guy still, he talked to some other people. They think they can have a plan in place. I understand it's going to be difficult, but that's something I think they will really try to get it done, even though they sound like they don't have a plan. When you look at baseball, there are so many more things connected with baseball that makes it more difficult. That's what I'm thinking. Out of the four, it will be the hardest to coordinate, to work. And there's so many players, as you said before, that have money and families and they live a good life, Gabe. They don't want to risk that. You know what I mean? Baseball is one of those things. It's like, okay, nah, I think we're good right now. There's a lot of obstacles, tough ones.
You need hundreds of thousands of tests.
Yes, exactly.
Literally hundreds of thousands of tests. Then you need to isolate the players. You need to get them to agree to live in Arizona in a hotel for 4.5 months.
That's hard enough.
Isolate the players, keep them away from the family. I hope no one gets sick. Hope there's not a second wave. There's a lot to jump through. Yeah. Like NBA, NHL, at least it's like, all right, man, it's 6 weeks. We'll blast through this best three of five series.
Because these leagues are playoffs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.